So I just wanted to be very, very clear about what we are doing. This episode drops on Friday, July 25th, 2025. If you are listening to this and you want to join us for a live watch of G.I. Joe or The Rise of Cobra, the live action movie, we're going to be doing it with Patreon members only. So if you want to join the Patreon and join us, you're welcome to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. All Patreon members, all levels are invited. We got links already in there to choose from. I hope I see you there. Let's get back to the show. Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Spinning our wheels for a little bit until we have a big reveal. And when you listen to this, it's probably right around the time we've already revealed it. But don't worry about that. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast. And I am Race Decanus.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
That's new rock stars is TV's Gina Ippolito. How come you don't say TV's Gina Ippolito? How come you're not introduced that way on new rock stars? Use the bit.
I think I'm usually introduced as some sort of other bit, like, and she's been sucking Mephisto's dick. It's Gina Ippolito.
No, to be fair, that is how they do things over there. That is true. Now, to be fair, I just yesterday watched the entirety of the Superman questions the fans are asking. And I do have one question for you. How are people so dumb? These questions they were asking, like half of them, were answered by the movie.
Yes, welcome to my world.
This is, I mean, I thought comic book readers were smart.
It's, you know what? It's just a testament to lack of, you know, what is it called?
Media awareness.
Yeah, like lack of media awareness and also just like weird like wish fulfillment. Like people don't want things to be true, so they find justifications for them to not be true.
Yes. I mean, we're talking about, look, if you haven't, like, fast forward a minute, but there's a certain aspect involved.
You know that I'm on here, right?
If you haven't seen it by now, it's your own fault.
It's true, but there's a spoiler free. There is a certain backstory element that Chan, you should have seen it by now, that gets revealed that is different than how we understand the story, but it's not like, but it did exist in the comics at some point, right?
And that's fair. And also, I don't know if you watched our break room episode of us answering questions, but I made the point that like in the original Superman, his parents are just straight up saying like, oh, we'll send him to Earth. They're a stupid people. Like, yeah. they're never speaking about them. And his dad is like, oh yeah, you can't help him. You can't get involved. So it's not insane
I just watched the Superman 1, Richard Donner, and he's like, they're thousands of years behind us.
Yes. They look at them like unevolved monkeys.
Yes. Yeah. So there's, without saying any more, there's a plot point around that, that the movie goes out of its way three or four times after making the claim to verify the claim internally in the movie from multiple sources, some of which are very well trusted. And we still get people walking out of the movie being like, I don't think that was real.
Yeah. By the way, Ray, when we did that break room episode and I presented all of the evidence on why it was real, including James Gunn's history with that kind of thing in his own shows, like Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy, the people in the comments were furious. Like it was split. Half the people were like, yeah, you guys are right. It was real. And the other half were like, no, you guys are idiots. And it's driving me insane.
It is absolute. The movie couldn't have gone out of its way to establish that, yes, that is real. Short of showing us, putting us in the room when they recorded it.
I cannot debate with stupid people who are being willfully obtuse despite all of the evidence in front of their face. So we answered it. We were like, hey, your question's answered. We answered it with proof, and people are still pissed off and think we're dumb and wrong. And so that's, so if any of you people are listening, you're idiots. Stop commenting. I hate you.
And to disagree with Gina here, I don't think you're idiots. I think you're fucking idiots.
Also, don't watch New Rockstars anymore. I don't care. Not my company.
Yeah. I don't think we spoiled anything for Chan.
I was spoiled. I thought that the American populace was media literate, that they did understand how storytelling worked, and that they weren't easily fooled by their own fantasies.
Cut to a few days from now when Chan finally sees the movie and we get that text as Chan puts together what we were talking about, establishes the exact same way of thinking, and then met Texas being like, how did anyone possibly think the opposite of that?
I don't know. Maybe 2016 and 2024 might have given me some sort of clue.
Well, okay, fair enough. Anyway, we're talking about a VHS tape, half of the tape, one full episode of something called Lollipop Dragon, The Magic Lollipop Adventure is the name here.
This was my fault. I didn't find, I didn't have anything lined up for this week. And Ray texted me last night after I'd gone to bed. I looked at the text, was like, oh, I should really answer.
Oh, a little late night texting. Was it sleep well, honey bunches? That's what I imagine you guys text about. I
told you what was texted. Do you pay attention, Gina? Are you?
It was in our group chat.
Where am I? The new rock star listeners. I'm going to start shitting on the new rock star listeners. Not just because.
Where am I? How did I get here?
All right, James Stockdale, you calm down over there. Wow. It was at 10:51 p.m.
Hold on. We got to talk about you dwelling in your top story past and remembering weird little political happenings from 15 years ago.
Chan, if you think James Stockdale was 15 years ago, I got bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
James Stockdale was from 1992.
That sounds like it was about 15 years ago.
That seems about right. Yeah.
That sounds like 15 years ago to me as well. I will think about it no further.
Chan, Fantastic Four comes out next week. You're going to be two major movies behind?
Look, we get one movie a month from the Cinemark Pass that we subscribe to.
Why bother?
Your life is hell. Your life is a living
usually,
hell.
Usually we save it up so that like all three of us can go watch a movie together.
I hate everything about this.
Child wants to see and has the patience for. I don't need to see movies in the theater anymore.
Chan, how was the Ryan's World movie?
You know what? It was better than expected. Although weirdly, like they established that he is the son of Eagle, the Living Planet, and I don't buy it. I don't think that was a real thing. I think,
Chan, it was confirmed by four different sources in that movie.
No.
Also, Ray,
no.
Don't think he should see Superman in theaters?
Yes. Are you kidding me right now? Everyone should see this movie in theaters. It is. I'm still dwelling on my thoughts on it. I already shared my thoughts on this over on the Who Would Win wrap up episode from a week ago.
What?
Want to hear it? Go listen to that. I need the download.
There's a show called Who Would Win?
I've heard of it. And
I'm sorry, there are seven shows called Who Would Win?
I was not aware. And somehow you're not on any of them. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
That's the bigger shocker, Robert Clark Chan. No, I loved it. This is slowly in my head canon moving up the charts of all-time superhero movies one by one. I don't think it's going to hit number one, but it ain't going to be too far from there when it's all said and done.
The plan was actually to watch this weekend with the child. So it was just a matter of, weirdly, my spouse was like, you know what? They're going to, I don't want our kid like ruining the experience for the people who are going on opening weekend. Apparently, they've never met any of the people that go to these movies on opening weekend. Doesn't realize that they're all trash humans that don't.
My screening was great.
Screening was pretty good, but I go to luxury cinemas now.
Well, that's why we didn't bring the kid, because he would have been all bouncing off the walls and making everybody's experience less enjoyable. You're welcome.
This sounds like a you problem. Yeah. If your kid can't behave in a public movie theater, what are we coming to?
I have so many thoughts about your upbringing, and I will not bring them into this discussion.
You guys, can we talk about Lollipop Dragon,
no,
the magic lollipop adventure already?
Clearly, we're trying to avoid it, Ray.
I am goddamn apologizing for it, and I had nothing to do with it. That's how bad it is.
Honestly, this is a great find by Ray. Like, I thought we had done the worst of the worst already, and somehow somehow Ray went lower.
I would say right now, what I thought when I watched this was, every time I think after 10 years of this show, we've done it all, I remember it's an impossible Herculean effort. It can never be accomplished. There will always be more.
Where did you get this? How did you stumble on this?
I was doing a quick Google search for weird 80s cartoons, and I found myself on a Reddit thread after a few dials down the Googles, and the Reddit thread was just sort of like, what's some stuff what's some like stuff from the 80s that nobody remembers, right? And that was the tip. So I start reading through the thread. It's like, you know, Foo Fur and Kissy Fur and Rubik and all this stuff that we're like, yeah, been there, done that, meh. Mm-hmm. And so then all of a sudden somebody's like, yo, y'all remember Lollipop Dragon? I went, please, I would like you to tell me more, sir. And then I found it on YouTube. It's actually, there's two episodes of this that appeared on a VHS tape in 1986, and that's all they made. My understanding of Lollipop Dragon, the Magic Lollipop Adventure, is this is a mascot for a British candy that for some reason this VHS tape got to the United States, even though the candy didn't. And so it ended up in many people's VHS collections back in the day, because we just collected whatever weird VHS tapes we could find back then as kids. And so that's where this comes from.
That's amazing, because it looked to me like some cheap Russian knockoff, like somewhere in the bowels of a Siberian gulag, there were people just like, slowly scrawling these pictures out by hand, and it fell into the hands of some American entrepreneurs. Like, I don't know, I could put words on top of this and, you know, put it on a VHS tape, on a low quality VHS tape, may I add, because you don't need to have that tracking advice on something that they've recorded in SP.
That's a good point. To be fair, this is also a restored version. There's a YouTube channel that restores this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did. I also have a fun fact about one of the actors in it that Chan, I hope, and Gina too, will probably appreciate to a point. The actor who plays the exciting role of the Baron.
The Baron Badblood.
Baron Badblood. I'll just say it right now. The actor, his last name is Thorne. I'm suddenly blanking on his first name.
Jesse
Courtney Thorne Smith.
Courtney Thornsmith. He was in a lot of episodes of Doctor Who.
Wait, what?
He was in a bunch. He didn't play the Doctor, I don't think.
But
He played a recurring character that came back in different iterations of Doctor Who back in the '60s through the '70s.
I seriously doubt that. I can't imagine that any of the Masters would have to stoop this low.
Well, here's the deal. I thought he did a great job in this. I'll be real. I thought he was very good. So I'm like, this guy must have worked. And it turns out he absolutely did.
Now I got to look it up.
I'm looking it up too.
No one believes me, but this is accurate.
Stephen Thorne. Okay.
Stephen Thorne. There we go.
Best known for, Doctor Who, The Lost Stories, The Monthly Adventures, The Nest Club. What are these? Are these Finnish?
BBC shows from the 60s, probably.
The Hand of... Okay. I'm looking at his TARDIS wiki page.
Mm-hmm. these all look like audiobooks.
He's got a great voice.
Going back further. Yeah.
So anyway, that's compelling. Anyway, Lollipop Dragon, near as I can tell, is the story, and you all check me if I'm getting any of this wrong. It's the story of a dragon named Lollipop who works in a mine with a bunch of child dragons that mine lollipops using a magic lollipop, which makes the water pure in the kingdom they live in, thus creating the best tasting lollipops in all the land. And there's an evil wizard named Baron Badblood who wants to steal the magic lollipop so he himself can get the tastiest lollipops in all the land. Now, in theory, in my world, why doesn't he just buy them from the people of this town? Or is there some weird xenophobia going on here and they don't believe in free markets? I don't know. But it seems like he has money. He has a castle.
Did you just compare xenophobia to an aversion to capitalism?
Well, according to Ayn Rand, Chan, racism and xenophobia can't happen under capitalism because they don't make sense for the bottom line.
Right.
That's why, famously, we live in a land with no racism and xenophobia, because she was right about everything I heard.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, why would you buy something when you could steal it?
You know, okay. But to be fair, Gina, this is the problem I have. He's not stealing the lollipops. He's stealing the mechanism to make lollipops, thus giving himself lots of work to do.
He is stealing the means of production, which is what capitalists do.
By the way, I usually Google beforehand, but I had a very busy day and was working quite a bit. And so I just Googled it to find out which Doctor Who person this guy was. He was in a regular episode, a Tom Baker era episode. And the third thing that comes up is a Reddit thread that just says, "What the hell are the Lollipop Dragon cartoons?" they say they're rather obscure, but they're childhood favorites of mine and could make for some good video material. Clearly, this person is insane. It's got, you know, a few comments on the old Reddit.
There you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just a big fan of this show. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. And honestly, this is the good cheap 80s animation. This is the good stuff right here. It looks like it's pulled straight out of the Legend of Zelda CD-ROM game. If you've ever seen those clips online, everyone, as the animation is happening, no one stops moving their limbs. Nobody stops moving their body. It's a style of animation that's like, it's like a shark. If it stops moving, it'll die. Which at least is interesting to look at compared to the cheap animation we get in that era where nothing moves at all.
Everything about this, from the voice acting to the songs, this might've been because I was watching it on 1.5 speed, but everything about it, from the animation to the story, to the songs, to the voices of the characters, made me feel like I was on drugs. I haven't felt this way since I think we watched one of the like H.R. Puffin stuff, the Witchy Poo one.
Oh, yeah.
This sort of reminded me of that, but it was like somehow more disturbing because like the voices on these characters are so weird, particularly the little kids, but also like the king and queen, who reminded me of like weird fucked up South Park characters. Like when they came on screen, I was genuinely like, oh, this is like an insane character from South Park, but they're actual real cartoon characters.
This is interesting because the thing I felt from the jump was, this is the most generic writing, generic art, generic music, generic storytelling that I have ever run across. Like start with the freaking theme song. It's just like
I was singing this around my apartment.
I loved it. Magic surround you and take you to a special land.
let the magic surround you and take you to a special land. That is as specific as it gets.
Listen, I would like, let the magic surround me.
We are happy in this place we are, and all of the things are good. They don't even fucking reference like their lollipop bullshit, or that, you know, they have a sugar-based economy. They're just like, hey, man, thumbs up. That's it.
I will say that song, if you listen to it on 1.5 speed, is a banger. Let the magic surround you, take you to a special land, let the thingies do-do-do, and take it in boo-boo-boo-boo.
All right, yeah. Hold on.
My note for this right here, I'll just say, this just song realized. Might just be a banger. Ray, it might be. I kind of like it.
Shut the fuck up. I'm going to play this on 1.5 speed, and we'll see if this improves.
Let's hear it.
Any.
Let the magic
surround you. Oh, hold on. That is kind of
a little bit. That's bop. What I'm saying.
That is a straight up bop.
I need you to play the first two beats, though, so I can figure out what the second line was.
Dragons live forever, and they're always friends with you. It's all the secrets and share all their dreams with you.
Come on, that's good.
Yo, let's go. That was phenomenal.
Also, we're friends with dragons now. This is awesome.
Again, to my point, I don't feel like this is a story about these dragons. I feel they're like, did you know that dragons can fly? And also, they're your friends. And
let they tell, the dragons you can tell them secrets. Surround you. Hold
on. I don't want us to get too far ahead of ourselves. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about our good friend Noel.
Who?
Noel, the kid who introduces the video and helps us with adjusting our tracking, because he is a consistent character
throughout
the intro and outro of this show. And I want to know what he's up to these days.
That's great. A good point. Let's look him up on IMDb while Chan plays a thing.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, he shows up at the beginning and does the tracking thing, and I'm like, huh, okay, well, like, sure, that's something from the 80s. But it's not until the end, post credits, where
he comes into his own, and we'll get to that when we get to it, Chan. And he goes the levels.
You can't see what he's doing with his face, but it is.
Well, he's reading the teleprompter.
No. That is not the face of someone who is reading a teleprompter. That is someone who with the face of someone whose stage mom is behind the camera going, Baker, big mouth wide, what? Open.
He's not on the IMDb page. I assume because he's before the actual movie itself.
This is outrageous. First off, we got to find this kid.
Yeah. If the Noel, internet if can track this kid down,
He's not in there because he's in witness protection. So just shut it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We don't want him to be found out.
Why.
We don't want Charlie Kale to track him down and get killed by the iguana.
I mean, that's fair.
I cannot find him anywhere.
So hold on. Hold on. That was a poker face reference that deserved more. Gene, if you're not watching poker face.
I haven't seen season two yet. I hear it's great.
You as well. Both of you.
Season one's delightful.
That's what I'm doing with my time when you go watching the Supermans in a fucking theater. I can sit at home and watch multiple episodes in that time.
Robert Clark Chan, I'm watching 4-hour pay-per-views that you suggested to me while I live tweet it to an audience of only you.
I don't know why you do that.
Because I have feelings and they need to get out.
I don't know why you ask me for things and then complain about it the whole time you're doing it.
I said that there were 6 good matches and 3 bad ones. That's not complaining.
You're not wrong.
Let the magic surround you and take you to a different land.
Oh my goodness.
We need to go also, this episode, playing more of that song.
It's a great song.
One more thing. I just got to find out.
Is that half speed?
Yeah. Just words.
Honestly, still pretty good.
Into like a doom metal thing. Sadly, no. But
it turned out it's something I heard on the radio back in 1987. appropriately. Now, okay, here's the deal. We're introduced to our heroes. Our heroes are Lollipop Dragon, who's a big old, like, Pete's Dragon kind of dragon, right? And then there's three little cute dragons named Cuddles, Blue Eye, and Glider.
Jesus. Again. Like, I don't even know if that fucking dragon has blue eyes. I feel like they're just like, what are we going to name these dragons? I don't know. Glider? Don't they all fly? Whatever. Hands? No, absolutely not. Eyes? Can we do more than eyes? Because that sounds kind of creepy.
Oh, blue let's eyes. Call him, let's call blue him Sinatra. Eyes. No, that's two on the nose.
Two on the nose.
Blue Eyes, old Blue Eyes. Let's call them Blue Eyes. That's good. And then Cuddles. Oddly enough, their names are after their superpowers. I don't know if you guys were tracking that during the episode.
Which one is Magic Ear? Because all of his magic comes out of his fucking ear.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird.
Where does your magic come out of, Shan?
Yeah, wait a minute. You know, well, I know where magic comes out of, Shan.
Absolutely no.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm not saying.
I was in my nipples.
Thank you. My first thought is, apparently, child labor is okay in this kingdom. Because they mine lollipops with three children dragons.
Ray, it's okay everywhere. Where do you live?
Well, it's okay in Wisconsin again. I know that.
Question, a follow-up. If you will, to yes. What I've said before.
Welcome, everyone.
Sorry. What is happening?
Honestly, I may just watch the whole thing again and see what happens.
Chad, was that a clip of your drunken voicemails? What are we doing here?
That feels like an SNL character.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to the annual festival, which we hold here in Tom Tom.
This place is called fucking Tom Tom.
Okay, you played it there. That's not what I heard. Gina, did you hear something different?
What?
Play it back one more time, and I'll tell you what I swear to God I heard.
The reason why I went here is because it's called The Festival, not like the Lollipop Festival or like the mm-hmm. annual festival of celebration of regeneration or whatever like that, which would be something specific. It's Welcome to the Festival, like they wrote this shit, and then afterwards they're like, what is this? What are we animating? Oh, dragons? And it's going to be, Lollipop? Okay, cool. Lollipop Dragons. Just leave the filler text in there. Just call it The Festival. And we'll be fine. Here's the thing again.
Welcome, everyone, to the annual festival, which we hold here in Cum Cum.
You can't tell me he's not saying Cum Cum.
Oh, yeah, he's clearly saying Cum Cum.
What? Do you not know the difference between the T phoneme and the
I'm sorry. Phoneme? People at home, go back to 232 on your dial and play that one more time for the people at home. And I defy you to tell me he's not saying Cum Cum.
First off, it's at fucking 254. I don't know. Are you listening to something else completely different?
Well, I didn't have it on 0.5 speed, so maybe it's
hold on. Let me see what it sounds like at 1/4 speed.
Wait, what is he saying if he's not saying come come?
He's saying tum tum like a goddamn stomach.
Well,
because
so that is not
lollipops.
What he said.
And I believe there's also an introduction that happens before that that also says cum cum. And I just, if you could please, for my humor's sake, take us back to 232 and play it for me.
Their Majesties, the King and Queen of Tum Tum.
I heard tum tum that time.
See, I did too, unfortunately, but I still heard come come the first time, and I will stand by it.
Of course you will.
And the king has a speech that he forgets he wants to do, because this is a very classic TV trope of an old, ugly man with an attractive younger woman as his wife. It's in every sitcom known to mankind. And apparently, if I'm reading between the lines of what everyone is saying, they live in a fully lollipop-based economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
it's absolute insanity. We've been taken to crazy town, and then we get zipped over to Baron Bad Blood, who wants that magic lollipop and wants us to know about it.
Baron Bad Blood, who lives in Castle Blood. It's
Castle Blood.
Like, we're in the sweetest, kindest, brightest, cheeriest possible place, this Kingdom of Tum Tum. Literally everything is adorable and cute, except for that one weirdo in the corner who's like, come, 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 come. And then we cut to Castle Blood.
Castle Blood.
He-Man is willing to, like, go, like, the Grayskull is, like, pull it back a little bit. Oh, that's kind of scary. It looks like a skull. It's not straight up, this castle is made of blood.
Torn
from the bodies of screaming dragons and children.
I'm gonna be real. I'm surprised Major Blood or whatever his name is just wanted lollipops. Like Gargamel and the Smurfs, like, wants to kill the Smurfs. Like, usually they want to kill the other things because they, like, hate happiness. But this dude is like, I want some fucking lollipops, and these happy people are hoarding the lollipops. Honestly, I'm kind of on his side. If an entire town had all the delicious lollipops and I had none, I would steal some dragons.
He's got a good point. I mean, yeah, it's fair. I skipped over this earlier, but there's a band playing to lead us into this festival. And I just want to speak just briefly that this is a happy lollipop dragon world of rainbows and magic and mirth. But every creature in it is a nightmare. Every creature in this band in town and creatures we see later in the mirror forest are just straight, like, I'm just saying right now that if they were in Spirited Away or Princess Mononoke, they would not be out of place. They are monstrous.
It is unclear to me whether these things on their face are nostrils, as in gigantic holes from the, like, breathe out of, or like weird spots. They are in the places where your nose should be, but like if there were nostrils, they're literally 20 times the size of what they should be to be relative to the size of their face.
You're talking about the dragons.
I'm talking about the dragons.
Yeah. Kids, but they're cute looking, at least.
They are not.
But this takes us to Baron Bad Blood, who's watching in a magic mirror. He's watching the festival. He's pissed off. He wants the magic lollipop. And then in a maneuver that honestly was shocking to me, he just puts his hand in the mirror, reaches through, grabs the lollipop and all three baby dragons, and just yanks them through the mirror to his castle.
Yeah,
I mean, it's insane.
Listen, it's a good plan. He's a planner. He's a planner. He loves lollipops. I'm on his side.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Come here, my child. Come with me.
Don't listen to him. Hi, kids. I'm Lollipop Dragon. I'm going to tell you how to keep safe. Always check first with your parents before going anywhere. Walk with a buddy. Try not to go places alone. Never get into a car with anyone unless your parents have told you that it's okay. Remember, Lollipop Dragon says play it safe. Don't go. Say no.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Here's the thing. He can get lollipops. The lollipops are not being hoarded in any way. He wants to steal the thing that makes the lollipops so that then he can hoard it, which is some billionaire capitalist bullshit. And I don't know. Occupy Wall Street. What are you doing there, you bootlicker, Gina?
Wait, he's Wall Street?
Yeah.
Major Blood is Wall Street? On the other side, there's a king and a queen.
We need to clarify, because you've done it multiple times now. It is Baron Bad Blood, not Major Blood. They might be related, although I do believe that it is spelled the traditional way.
I think a king and queen outrank a baron. So if you're talking about who is the 1% here, I think it's the king and queen.
Again, though, they're not hoarding the resources.
Aren't they?
As far as I can tell.
Open that mine up. Let's get some competition.
You know,
They have a monopoly.
I could be wrong here. Maybe I'm just put off by the cover of this book, and I'm drawing conclusions, even though he does seem to be kind of a penis.
No, it's true, but like also he Baron Bad Blood lives in a castle. He has a magic mirror. He has magical powers of his own. Yep. And yet he has but one henchman and no like followers or servants or staff of any kind. Like when dude gets himself in trouble, there is almost no one to help him. And I'm like, shouldn't he have a crew?
He's living frugally. You know, he's hoping to retire early and he's putting all that money into IRAs rather than, you know, blasting it on his posse.
This is the thing. He needs a posse because when Cuddles uses his power of hypnotic cuddling to hit the red furry guy that is the one henchman of Baron Bad Blood, that red furry guy turns and starts like assaulting him, like SA on the Baron, and I was very uncomfortable.
Give me a kiss.
He turns him into straight up Louis C.K. and it's very upsetting.
Oh boy, that is not great. Honestly, the first time around, I didn't hear the noise.
Yeah,
and now that I have, I do not care for that even more.
It is upsetting. He takes all of his meetings from the toilet. For anyone listening and hasn't watched this, just know that Baron Von Blood is on the toilet.
Baron Von Blood.
His name's going to be different every time I say it.
Time. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So he ends up getting him off of him and then hypnotizes the dragons. And also a message got out in the middle of this to tell Lollipop Dragon where they're located, because nobody knows, because it was a lot. He hypnotizes the baby dragons, the kid dragons. They turn physically gray and like have crazy, like unpleasant eyes. And in my head, like you're trying to introduce this world and these characters to children. What better way to do that than turn your main characters into scary automatons for more than half of the story? And Big Dragon, who is Lollipop Dragon, that's his name, but it's confusing with all the other lollipop talk. But Lollipop Dragon runs over to the king and says, King, I got a message from the kids, the baby dragons. I know where they are. Here's the deal, King. They're in a scary castle held by a magical being who wants to like kill everybody and make lollipops and steal all our stuff. And the king goes, oh my God, this is serious. I want you to take both of my children and go to that castle right away.
This very much feels like he's trying to clear the lines of succession. He does not want these children to grow up to usurp him. And he's like, yeah, no, take him out on a dangerous journey through the Forest of Mirrors, where all their greatest fears will come rise up to tear them to pieces.
Why is the little round king sending these kids to do this?
Shouldn't we take the standing royal army? No.
Do we know why he sends them? Is there any explanation?
Because Lollipop says so.
Okay. All right. This is a cult, is what you're saying. Honestly, well, I'm still on Baron Von Bloodblood's side at this point.
Surely, Your Majesty, we have men. We have large groups of people in the kingdom. Maybe even a militia of some kind with pitchforks and torches to get back our most important relic and also the children of our friend the dragon who works in the mines. I believe these two children should be enough to go deal with this magical wizard.
Let the magic surround you and take you to a different land.
And we know they're going through the terrifying, literally, I was afraid of it. The creatures that they show in the mirrors of the Forest of Mirrors that don't appear in real life but only appear in the mirrors to menace you. This shit is scary.
I was irritated by, this one.
That's the Invisible Lady, the spirit of the Forest of Mirrors.
The Invisible Lady.
It's the Invisible Lady, Chan.
That is the most generic shit. They wrote that down and are like, what's this magical spirit look like that's going to be, you know, like their first major obstacle? They're like, shit, I don't know, man. Look, we'll just write down the Invisible Lady in script. And then once we get their face, then we'll be like, okay, yeah, then we'll call it
this is 100%. They were like, hey, the artist got a hand cramp. Can we change that scary witch that we had in that first act to something easier to draw? Like someone who's voice. Invisible?
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's mostly upsetting. And so in order to escape and get through the horror of the Forest of Mirrors, obviously they have to sing a happy song. So it's 7 minutes and 22 seconds, as my timestamp says.
Oh.
I would like to hear this happy song.
But do you want it in regular speed or speed 0.5?
I honestly want it in 1.5 now that I've learned your hack for this episode.
All right, we're gonna best possible speed for listening to these songs. 1.5 speed.
Sing a happy song while you're walking. Don't let your head do too much talking. Keep your mind on happy things.
Yeah. Hamburgers, french fries, candy bars, and apple pie.
You know, when you play it at 1.5 speed, it's almost like the people here can't sing.
That one, at first, I was like, Jesus Christ, why did they make this person sing? And then I was like, oh, no. You know what? This must have been a choice. She's deliberately singing poorly. She probably has a wonderful singing voice. And, you know, they're going to set that up for a gag later.
Chan, this is a wrestling reference right here. But if you have a talent like the Ultimate Warrior, you don't book him for a 60-minute Iron Man match. You know what I'm saying? You got to know what your talent's good at and can't do, and then get them to do that accordingly. Yep. And I don't think they did that here.
I don't think they did, no.
And yeah, this moment in this thing, it's just uncanny valley to me. The way everyone is just moving so weirdly, fluidly, and constantly mixed with these monstrous creatures that I don't think my words are doing justice to. They're like, what if we made Dr. Seuss creatures, but put no thought into it, and they were scary? Like, that's what I'm getting out of it. Like, they're weird, man. They creep me out. And also, I found out at this stage in the show that the kids in the Lollipop Dragon are walking around with a four-armed monster with a hat on, who literally up to this point I didn't notice and just thought was one of the creatures from the Forest of Mirrors. Turns out it's their friend.
Is it? Maybe it's the Invisible Lady.
Maybe it is the Invisible Lady. And we get to this scene where they're trying to sleep. And the little girl's like, I need a nightlight. I'm scared. I need a nightlight. And her brother, the prince, literally is just like, just think of a candle and shut the fuck up.
Honestly, that's what I would tell a kid too.
First time around watching it, I was like, wait a minute. Did they just introduce that these kids can do magic and didn't think to fucking bring it up until just now?
But they establish later that it's for only the 2 minutes that they are in this forest.
It's a Forest of Mirrors magic.
Later in the episode, they bring that point up so that makes sense, which then begs the question, why did they fucking bother with the scene in the first place? What was it meant to contribute to character development or story development or anything other than just fucking filler? Because we got a picture of one of them sleeping and one of them just sort of like curled up there. Do you think we could like stretch that animation out into like 3 minutes or something?
Yeah. We got time. We got to fill this videotape that could be any length we want.
But preferably under an hour when it's set to long play. So
thank you.
We don't want to adjust your tracking. A lot of money on the tape.
Yeah. We're going to spend so much money on the tape. As you said, we need to tell kids how to adjust their own tracking. which I didn't even consider, and now I find that to be hysterical.
You can get your mother, your father, or your older brother or older
sister. Do it yourself, kid. What are you? Your mother and father aren't around. It's 1986. Keep it real. They're busy. Here we are at Blood Castle.
Blood Castle! I would like it if that played every time they go to Blood Castle.
Blood Castle!
It would make it so much more awesome.
Great name. I don't think that's sort of like the vibe they're going for there.
No? They don't want it to sound awesome?
I'm into it. I'm into this castle. I'm into the Baron's whole vibe, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm on his side for the most part. But, like, so the Baron is kind of dependent on this magic mirror, it turns out. Like, he was able to easily accomplish his goals in the first 5 seconds of uttering that those were his goals because of the magic mirror, who has a personality. And he immediately comes back and he starts being shitty to the magic mirror, and the mirror starts sassing him back, being like, hey, don't you talk to me like that. You wouldn't be where you are if it weren't for me. And he's like, how about this? And then he threatens the mirror, and then he shatters the mirror, which then flies, the pieces fly away, and he done effed up, Leroy.
This is the second appearance of the mirror. So if we're given such a brief time to learn what this mirror's deal is, the first time he should have been a dick to it. Yes. Or the mirror should have been like, I don't think that's a, and then he's like, shut up. And then, you know, reaches in and does a thing. It would take two goddamn seconds to make this make sense. But instead, it's like you're talking to your frying pan and like, and you better fucking make those eggs or God help me, I'm going to throw you in a smelter out of nowhere. Just out of nowhere.
I appreciate the fact that this teaches kids that at the first sign of intimate partner violence, you need to immediately flee and assist the enemy.
You know what? If it weren't 1986, I would say that's exactly what they intended, and they nailed it. But in this era, I think it's a little more of like, what is that? Well, I don't want to have to say it, but did you see what that mirror was wearing?
Insane. And then she immediately is like,
all right, fuck you. I'm going to help those kids. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the kids are like, oh, metal, shiny metal birds. And honestly, if I was the mirror in this, I would have then slashed up those kids.
I mean, I feel like that's the vibe mirror was going for. It's like a flock of monarch butterflies. It's not like, you know, an accidental choice. She's feeling herself. She's like, I want to be beautiful.
This is the thing. This is one of the biggest self-enforced errors we've ever seen in the history of this show, because the kids show up to the castle and they're like, hey, there's a moat and a large gated door on the front of the castle. How would we deal with either of those two obstacles? But because the Baron was a jerk to the mirror and shattered it for no good reason, quite honestly, like, he was being sassy and he deserved to get sass back, and then did not need to immediately go to 11 with the violence. The mirror goes out the window, flies in the air, burns, literally laser beams down the door, which then triggers a automatic bridge to go over the moat, solving both of the kids' problems in one fell swoop. It is petty as hell, and I love it for it.
That's what I'm saying. It could have been, like, I understand why, story-wise, that needed to happen. The kids couldn't have made it into the castle and whatever, and so, like, let's do this. Just, like, just the teeniest bit of effort to make it all make sense. 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
And the Baron, to be fair, when the Baron has help, the Baron gets shit done. He has his three dragon hero automaton children, and he sends them off and says, release the dragons, steal the kids, get the big dragon under a net. So what happens? Those dragons run forward, and they are scary. Legitimately, they are adorable, but here they are. This is like Chucky stuff. This is like taking something cute and turning it evil. There's no soul inside them. There's no thought. It's just pure rampage as they rush out, grab the kids and the weird red guy, and then zoom back into the castle. They get chased by the big dragon, who gets a giant net thrown on. A lot of nets in this, by the way.
I did not like this part. I felt bad for the dragon. I think it has to hurt to be that big a dragon and be netted down. And he's all smooshed. And you know he's having trouble breathing. I hated it.
Trust me. I had trouble breathing while I was watching.
As a large dragon myself, who often finds it difficult to move around, and sometimes while laying down, you know, can't move very well. I think that is 100% that dragon's fault. Maybe he should be eating less lollipops.
That's true. That's fair.
I feel a different way. I think when the dragon got netted and he couldn't move, I think his first thought was, oh, thank God, I did not want to climb those stairs.
I think that dragon needs to stop going to random stores the day after Halloween and buying discount candy.
You listen here, goddamn Chino.
The thing that makes me happy. If you wanted to turn this into a Ray and Chan against Gina episode, just goddamn well did it.
Right? Dangerously close to flipping Gina right now. Now the kids,
net is more of a weighted blanket for him. I think he's like, yeah, this is chill.
It's nice. Oh, and then, honestly, I think nets take a part in this like three or four different times in this cartoon.
Well, they
do. Nets are very important.
We can't do like swords or whatever. We can't have any murder. Or, even though the thing is called Castle Blood, he is called Baron Blood. We're not actually going to see any blood. Spoiler alert.
And so the kids. He brings the kids to his room, which put him in a dungeon. Why are you bringing him to the one place you're vulnerable? I don't get that.
Because he has to say this.
I have the magic lollipop, and now I can make the best lollipops in the land.
Okay, hold on.
That was awkward.
See, this is what you lose going 1.5, is he didn't sound nearly as scary and intimidating as he does now.
Got a good voice.
I have the magic lollipop.
Chan, what are we doing here?
Lollipops in the land.
Wait, here's the thing. He wants to make the best lollipops in the land. He doesn't like. It sounds to me like he's a rival baker, and he doesn't want there to be a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
So
he's got the magic lollipops, and now he can make great lollipops. And you know what? This kid starts sassing him, and we already know that's not a good call. And he literally is just like, hey, Dragon Automaton, throw the child out the window like it's Vladimir Putin and shit.
Yeah, I do like that he goes straight to child murder.
To child murder. Like, he doesn't even think about it.
And I'm trying to figure out if this is a thing that would be genuinely scary to a child, or it was intended to be kind of like, well, here's a really goofy way that we could, you know, like put them in trouble, but obviously they're going to be okay because they're going to land on squishy gumdrops or something like that. I don't know which one it is.
There's a moment in the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom movie where Indiana Jones is, remember this, when he's mind controlled and he has the knife and he's about to stab the lady. And like, he's got this absolutely blank expression on his face as he's walking towards her slowly with the knife. And it's really like tense and like uncomfortable. That's how I felt every single time one of these automaton hypnotized dragons, who are adorable, had to do something evil. It was uncomfortable. So the dragon is starting to shake it off, but still bum rushes the child and throws him out. Yeah, he YOLOs him out the window.
Yeah, yeet that kid out of there.
He gets yeeted straight through. And then now this is Blue Eyes. So Blue Eyes, whose magic power is blue laser beams from his eyes like Cyclops, except they do stuff.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yes.
It's supposed to be coming out of his eyes.
Yes.
Because it does not in any way, shape, or form look like that.
No, it does not. But that's the conceit. So he ends up using like a telekinetic beam from his eyes to beam the kid like down, and we're good. And then later on,
and he bounces off a mirror I sort of get it, because he's shooting a beam down. That's not going to help the child who is falling.
And then weirdly enough, Blue Eyes walks over to the other two dragons, just snaps his fingers a couple times, and they just wake the fuck up. I'm like, all right, that's all it took? Weird.
I don't understand this place.
And for all of you aspiring VO performers at home, the lollipop dragon, the big one under the net, escapes the net by using an appropriate VO breathing technique. Don't breathe from your chest, breathe from your diaphragm. And he does that and snaps the net right off of him. Now you know.
That's weird.
It made sense to me. That's like the first thing in here that I was like, yeah, that tracks.
It sounds like they're really letting the magic surround them and take them to a different land.
I feel like there were other options for a lot of this.
I got a screenshot, and please post it. And I just need anybody to tell me if that looks like the magic is coming out of that dragon's fucking eye. You know what?
If Blue Eyes wasn't squinting from the other eye,
yeah,
and it wasn't pointed at his eye, I would agree with you. This tracks to me as coming out of his eyes.
I think it's coming out of his eye. Why else would he be like winking and tilting his head like that?
Because if you've ever gotten water in your ear and you try and like get it out,
you think that's coming out of his ear?
Go ahead and tilt it, tilt your head and pretend like you're trying to get water out of there. You squint your other eye.
No,
ears are way higher up on their forehead. In fact, now I think it's a she, not a he.
Those are bows. Bows for the hair.
Bows
hair is not ears. If you think that, you are.
The bows are on that dragon's ears. They're on the
ears, though, right? Gina, back me up here.
Yeah, that's an animation style where they were like, well, they need to know that the dragon is a girl, so put some bows on her ears. The ears you can clearly see coming out of her head. They're the only things on her head.
Do you mean like Daisy Duck, who has a bow on her head but doesn't have any fucking ears because she's a fucking duck?
No, those are dragon ears. That's why they have bows on them.
Absolutely not. They're antennae at best. Because I think one of them, possibly her, when she sent the message at the beginning, she has one single antenna popping out of the top of her head.
Listen, I'm a girl. Ray has a girl. You're a boy. You have a boy. We know what bows are, and ears and hair.
Where is your antenna?
In my butt.
Tell me where your antenna is, Gina.
Look, Chan, we both know where that antenna is, and she just said it.
I'm looking at another picture from earlier, and it's a little more clear, maybe, that it's coming out of his eye because he isn't cranking his head in a weird direction, but it's still kind of unclear. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It works for me. I've accepted it. So this is where Baron's plan really falls down, because his one henchman is elsewhere in the castle. He's up there with now turned three dragons and other characters. He is outnumbered 5-1 in his own throne room by his own set of choices, and he is overpowered and thrown into yet another net by everyone there. Baron, what are you doing?
Yeah, man, I don't know.
Where are his soldiers?
He just has one thing that already turned against him and another thing that turned against him. Wait, did his first henchman turn against him?
No, his first henchman just is he's like taking a dump right now. Like, I don't know where the other henchman is right now.
Didn't his henchman join the other side?
No, because he's about to drive together later.
Who's the little red guy bopping around?
Oh, that's the one I thought was a monster who it turned out was their friend the whole time who came with him.
Oh, I thought he was Blood's henchman and he got brainwashed. That's the other red guy.
Look, it's confusing.
I thought he got brainwashed by someone and turned good and abandoned Blood. And then the mirror got sassed by him and turned good.
No, because he existed before that. Yeah, this show is approaching Legion territory right now.
I mean, to be fair, I watched it on 1.5 speed.
Look, so the blue beams out of Blue Eyes deal is multi-purpose. It's like a Swiss Army knife. Uses the blue beams to create a a fireman's pole, basically, and they all just slide down the pole. Now, there are stairs and a front door that's open, but whatever. We're sliding down the stairs, or sliding down the pole, and then they do, but before that, they do a bit, starting at, I believe, 1428, Chan, and the bit is there's heroes at the bottom, and there's heroes at the top, and they're very far away, and they can't hear each other, so they're just shouting, but not quite understanding each other, and it goes on longer than I'm comfortable with.
I do not understand this, and in fact, I have the same note, like, why did we have to have this whole thing about having explained the blue beams? We just had the blue beams. Is this filler? There's no other explanation I can think of for it.
The doors are locked! The blue beams! What? What? Oh, what is he saying?
Blue?
The blue beams! The blue beams, Blue Eyes!
Hold on. I don't think we watch this in a way that properly conveys.
Stop it. Don't you feeling. Do it, God damn it.
We can't get out. The doors are locked.
Major Blood sounded like Gimli from Lord of the Rings in that first one.
Kind
of
good.
All right. This
and
bit is
my axe.
My axe. Would you do it with a friend? Oh my god. Anyway,
right around this point, in fact, it was about the 15-minute mark, I was like, how is this still going? What?
It goes on longer than it should. Look, we're gonna push some stuff here because the Baron's henchman runs over to get him out of the net, and instead of opening the net, he starts chewing the strings of the net, and the Baron himself also starts chewing on his side of things. The strings of the net till they get out. It is a weird choice, but this is amazing to me because he's got his own hoopty car, the Baron does. And so the Baron is sort of standing in the passenger seat of this open topped hoopty car. And the little monster henchman is driving it really erratically. And I thought for a second, I was watching Rob Zombie's Dragula video.
My poll was that this looks like, and I wasn't sure when this was made, but I was like, this tank limousine feels like someone in the 80s trying to mimic Ralph Bakshi from the 70s. Their whole True. Like magic and science mixed up fantasy thing that was big in the 70s. So like fully 10 years too late, whatever they were doing was stuck in somebody's pocket, back pocket for so long. Again, they had written something and were like, we'll figure it out. We'll put in all the stuff when the stuff gets made. Only they did that when they were like 16 and now they're like a 50-year-old man.
And for the record, thank God they did. I'm going to make a copy right here. And you guys just watching this, if you go to the 55-second mark of the Dragula video, don't tell me that's not what exactly happened in this episode of this program. Okay. While you're watching that, I'll just keep going. The Baron uses his magic to create a chasm in the road where the heroes are running. At which point they go, hey, why don't I just think of a bridge? The little girl says, I'll think of a bridge and conjure a bridge. And her brother says, that only works in the forest, you piece of shit. And I laughed. I laugh every single time that he just is so annoyed at her and her dumb ideas.
Yeah, I don't. The rules of this forest are sus. This kid is at. Also, how does he know them and the girl doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. She's the one who did it.
Also, why is he? He's not suggesting anything.
He's got no ideas, just for the record. Except, oh, no, I take it back. He had the idea for the fireman's pole.
Oh,
he couldn't
yeah.
convey it in any semblance of time, but, you know, he did have the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the big dragon, the lollipop dragon, makes himself into the bridge layer from G.I. Joe, and they walk across his back, and then he, in order to get, like, how your tail and your head are here, you have little arms, what are we doing? And he goes and he flips himself on his head like Amon Ra St. Brown of your Detroit Lions celebrating a touchdown. flips up onto his head and rolls back over. And I love this. I love this. And then I love the part when the Dragula car is flying towards the chasm. And instead of closing the chasm with his magic, which is what a normal person would do, he's like, we're going to jump it. No, sir, we can't jump it. We're jumping it, asshole. And then he jumps it and it works. And I cheered. I don't know why I'm cheering. This is like when we watched Devlin and he accomplished the impossible motorcycle jump. And I'm like, it's a cartoon. They choose if he makes it or not. Why am I so excited that it worked? I don't know. But then they get to the Forest of Mirrors, where our heroes are already hiding inside. And Baron says, hey, Cosmo, my sidekick, we're going in. And Cosmo looks at him and he's like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not doing it. No, thank you, sir. I respectfully decline. What now? And Baron's like, I guess I'm going in by myself. And I love their relationship, except for the SA part. I didn't really care for that.
I don't understand why that character did not go in with him, since like this is basically the end of the story for them. So like, why wouldn't you just have them both go in together? Because it's not like he gets saved or redeemed in any way. Like, why are we bothering to separate his fate from the other one?
It's a great character choice. And I like it. I enjoyed the storytelling on that. He is his own person. And he's trying to be helpful, but he knows what he says. Mama didn't raise no fool. I know a bad idea when I see one. And I'm here for it. And yeah. I liked it. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so Baron goes in by himself, and he doesn't even find him because they say, Glider, you're the third of us who hasn't used a power yet. Fly us out of here. And he's like, I'll do it. And so I'm like, oh, Glider flies. That's weird. But no, Glider is a pilot who can operate Lollipop Dragon's flight. But the only way Lollipop Dragon can fly is if he's guided by a pilot named Glider, who sits on his back and is apparently the only one who can do this.
It's like a Headmaster Transformer thing. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm, great. Mm-hmm, The Baron goes in by himself like a fool, and then he ends up dealing with the denizens of the Forest of Mirrors.
Not denizens, specifically the Invisible Lady, who apparently is also the mirror?
Is also the mirror!
Oh, how's shit. How's that work?
And the mirror turns him into a tree in some real body horror shit, you guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a little turbo teeny.
Mm-hmm.
He turns into a tree like that terrifying one from the Warlock movie that messed me up when I was a kid, when he gets turned into the modern art piece. And the mirror's like, gotcha, you bitch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And weirdly enough, despite the fact that this is his ultimate fate, he's back for the second episode. I don't know how that works exactly.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, he is, Chan. Don't I understand it? No, I do not.
Cool, 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 cool.
Anyway, because we're getting past the witching hour for Gina.
I'm watching this. I was watching him turning into a tree again, and then it cuts immediately to them riding Lollipop Dragon. And fucking Glider, like, I didn't pay close enough attention. I was like, oh, Glider must have some sort of magic. Then it floats them all. Okay, whatever.
No.
Glider is fucking holding on to Lollipop Dragon's antennae and yes, yanking it around like he's driving a car. Or
like he's driving a car in the 1960s and 70s when nobody knew how driving a car worked. And it's just bending it left and right and left and right and left and right as they go. And it's incredible.
I hate it.
Oh, I love it so much. That's a great character choice.
Kids drive.
Thank you.
It is how kids drive.
That's why they don't drive.
That's not how I'm going to say a fully grown adult dragon should drive or be driven.
Listen, do you want him to drive properly or do you want him to drive fun?
Is not at all an option?
Should be. So here's the deal. So they get back to the kingdom, and this is wild because the king, who I'm now convinced sent them on a suicide mission, he just didn't want them convinced? There.
I fucking told you at the beginning.
You did, and now I'm seeing it because they get back, and the king's like, oh, hey, do you got the magic lollipop? Does not give a shit about that. And he didn't, and yeah, insane. And then what's great about it, and I love this, this is a bit I'm going to do in real life from this point forward, is that the king wants the magic lollipop. They're like, shouldn't we like hug or something? And the king literally busts out into his own vocal narration and said, and that's the moment when they gave the king the magic lollipop. And then he just sort of takes it from them. And then he's like, and all was saved in the land. And he put it back and then just like walks away from them while he narrates his own journey. And I love this. This is one of the best things we've ever watched on this show. I'll put it out there. And then everyone hugs. And then I look at the timer and we still have 4 minutes to go.
Yeah. It was at 19 minutes.
I was also confused. Also, if this VHS didn't come with a free lollipop, what was their marketing team even doing?
What are we doing at that point? Yeah. I mean, it's to advertise lollipops, obviously. Well,
I mean, they had to smuggle it from Great Britain, so I don't know that they would have gotten it past customs, but...
Look, we got not too many more minutes before Gina turns into a pumpkin, so I just want to say, we have 4 minutes to go on this episode. And we start with a musical number. Please, Chan, play a little bit of the bop. It's from timestamp 2050, titled We'll Be Friends Forever.
No.
I want to hear it. Now we're just losing daylight.
Friends forever.
Not at 0.5 speed, nerd.
Every day. A friend is someone you can trust to tell your secrets to. Great to have a special friend as wonderful as you.
I want to clarify, that's at 1.5 speed. Imagine it 67% slower.
I'm telling you, everything's better at 1.5 speed.
This is the first thing I have ever run across that is better at 1.5 speed.
It really is. But the problem is, the songs are better. The nuanced dialogue is not.
I don't like that they're like a friend of someone you can tell secrets to. The only secrets that a fucking this target audience has are bad secrets. Either you're getting diddled and the pervert adult doesn't want you to know, or you like broke a vase or some shit. And you don't want your kids to be learning the lesson that like if you just hide something, then they'll be able to get away with it. This is bad. I do not like
it. Can I tell you this? This happened to me earlier in the week, right? They're getting ready for bedtime, and bedtime is always a nightmare, right? This is just an understood thing as a parent of a kid Indeed. Who's in the 7-8-year-old range, right? Indeed. And so my wife is upstairs. I'm getting my kid over to bed. I'm trying to get her up the stairs, which is an impossible task. So she finally walks by me and just straight up turns and just absolutely haymakers my butt. Like, just straight up, just butt punch. Just like leans into it, is just like boom. And it might have been an open hand, I don't know, but like it hurt. Like, legitimately, I was like, what? Just why are you striking me, child? And she gets 2 steps up the stairs, turned to me, and she goes, I didn't. And I'm like, why would you lie to me about that? It just happened, and it was to me. So,
yeah,
you're right, Chan. They only have bad secrets.
I mean, I thought that this story would involve a secret at some point and not just straight up violence.
No, I got violated. And then, but the idea that you would hit somebody and then they're like, ow, what the fuck, man? And then you would turn to me like, I didn't hit you. Like, but I was here.
Y'all,
I'm in pain.
When Kristallnacht comes down sometime soon, certainly before the next election, that is exactly what we're going to be seeing. Some Nazi fuck like throwing a brick through a window while you're watching them, filming them on TikTok, and then just say like, I didn't do that. And it's going to be all over the country, and it's going to suck.
We're here. We made it. We got it the last few minutes. The weird kid's back. Now, am I crazy or did he age up since the first video? Is he like 2 years older in the second part?
Am
I crazy? He seems older. It's a different day of shooting. And he wants to tell us about other programs from this company, including the Boba Bobs, who are space gnomes. And he has multiple Star Trek references in this plug.
What the hell?
This is crazy.
Okay.
And then this other one, I want to put both of these on the list, Chan, if I could just be honest with you.
Oh my God. Oh,
I just want to say that I looked at this and then I went back and looked at the kid at the beginning, and the difference is he's showing his braces.
Yeah.
In the second one. And it was the thing that I was like, what is wrong with this child's face? It's not that he has braces. It's that he is just like, gleam, look at this.
That's how braces were in the 80s, Chan. They didn't have non-bulky braces back then. They had fucking braces that tore your mouth up and made you talk like you had a mouthful of drool in both cheeks.
But he did in the first one, because I looked and you can see that he has braces. But in this one, he is talking he's talking like he's a fucking ventriloquist. His lips are completely off his teeth and he is talking with them out. And it is so weird.
It's so weird. Well, let's talk about the second video. Sherlock Hound, that legitimately looks good to me. He's doing a bad British accent the entire time to plug this thing. And quite honestly, it's like an anime inspired or even like Korean based animation from the 80s called Sherlock Hound. And I'm into it.
I thought anime too. Like, it looked like that they got some Japanese animation and probably redubbed the whole thing.
Yeah, I would legitimately watch this show. I want to watch this show and check it out. So don't be surprised if Sherlock Hound shows up soon. And that's the end. Finally, mercifully, we get the end credits. 1986's Lollipop Dragon. Y'all, what'd you think? What are your final thoughts on Lollipop Dragon?
I'm going to go to sleep tonight with that initial song at 1.5 speed in my head, and I don't hate that. Hated everything else, though.
No, I love this. I'm going to say right now, sorry, Chan, you go ahead. I got my own thoughts.
I mean, I have no thoughts outside of what I'm staring at right now, which is the kid showing off his braces. And I realize what I'm recognizing there. It's the it's Scott Thompson. Is it the chicken lady?
No. Okay.
It's the teen girl character that he plays. Who talks like this and her teeth are out. It's kind of like the Irma Gerd meme girl.
Yes.
That's all I have to say about this.
Irma Gerd.
Listen, I absolutely love this. This is one of my favorite things we've ever watched. I'll go ahead and put it out there. I have enjoyed it. Thank you for these pictures, Chan. These are all going on Patreon. I enjoyed this a lot because it's just so weird. They make odd choices constantly, and I appreciate it. No, of course it's not good. Of course it doesn't make any sense. But, like, there's some weird spirit... some magic happening in this show that is like lost in most other 80s cartoons that we watch. That's what I will say. There's a weirdness here that we don't often get to brush upon. And I loved it. This is one of my favorite things. I loved the Lollipop Dragon show. In fact, I'm starting a new podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch both episodes of Lollipop Dragon. It's a two episode podcast, and this is episode one. So y'all might as well come along for episode two.
I mean, what I always suggest to people in situations like this is there's a podcast. I think it's called the Star Wars Minute, where they watch Star Wars 1 minute at a time each episode, each 90 minute or whatever episode of the podcast just covers a single minute of the show. And you can do the same thing. In fact, I would urge you to watch this on 0.25% speed.
Man, I'm into it. Chan, any? Oh, we're not being.
Oh, that's
that.
All. That's all. Yeah, that's all it. He has to say about that. Oh, do you want more?
The craziest. Bunch of little space travelers this side of Star Trek.
No, I'm done.
Let the magic surround you and take you to a special land. Let the magic surround you. Your whole rainbow is in your head. Let the magic surround you and take you to a special land.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.